McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Happy Thursday to you, everybody. Wow. I don't know if you guys have done this. We're getting off on a sidetrack note here, but I downloaded this brand new app. You know, we live in, yours truly, I live in one of the most violent cities in America, so I downloaded this Citizens app. Have you guys had the Citizens app on your phone, and it alerts you to crime news. And there's so much crime news that every time I charge up my phone, the battery is dead in about 10 minutes because of all the notifications I'm getting. So I've got to figure out a way to, Dylan, in the commercial break, I need you to figure out how to turn this nonsense off. Anyway, good to have you with us today. Enough of my personal problems. We have a lot going on today, ladies and gentlemen. And first and foremost, I have to call out our good friend Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, the congresswoman from Georgia, and she has been leading the charge to codify the official renaming of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. And it's a very exciting thing that's happening because the House of Representatives just mere moments ago overwhelmingly voted to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. And I'm very excited about this. Who was it? I was talking to somebody just, oh, geez, Lou, who was that? I was talking to, well, it's a good friend of mine. Her name is Lisa Arnold. She is a great Republican here in Tennessee. And she is, she was just on vacation down there and said that there are Gulf of America t-shirts. People are just having a great time and everybody's really embracing the name change. Well, here's the one challenge. By the way, did Lisa Arnold, I wonder if she brought me back something, like a souvenir. I should have asked. Anyway, the problem is that, let's just say, heaven forbid a Democrat gets elected in 2028, the Democrat could rename the Gulf of America back to the Gulf of Mexico. And nobody wants that, which is why we needed to codify the president's executive orders. And so anyway, that's exactly what MTG did. She introduced official legislation to change the name permanently to the Gulf of America. And there was only one Republican who voted against this. His name is Congressman Don Bacon from the landlocked state of Nebraska. And I don't know if he's got a problem with Trump or the Gulf of America. Maybe he doesn't like the South, or maybe he's just a jerk. It could be all the above. I mean, it really could be. But anyway, he sided with the Democrats who sided with Mexico. Regardless, this now goes to the Senate. And look, it's going to be kind of tough. You got to have 60 votes in the Senate. The Republicans don't have, do they have 60 votes? They're going to need some Democrats to join them in this endeavor. And if that happens, then for many years to come, generations to come, our families will be able to go down and we'll be able to lay out on the sands, the white sugary sands of the Gulf of America and dip our toes in the beautiful blue waters. What a day that will be. Anyway, welcome to the show. Getting some breaking news just moments ago from my Newsmax producer that apparently there is white smoke coming out of the chimney there at the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. So we're going to keep an eye on that. That means they've officially voted for somebody. Whoever it was got two-thirds of the votes. That's what you need to become the next pope. And we'll let you know who that is. Southern Baptists, in the meantime, meeting in Texas next month, and they're actually sending down a big, huge smoker. And we do the same thing. You know, when we elect a new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, we look for the white smoke, and that tells us we've got a new Southern Baptist president, and also the ribs are done. So that'll be fun. I hope they send me down there. I didn't want to go to Rome. I wouldn't mind going to Dallas. That's where the Baptists are meeting. So anyway, we'll let you know when that happens. Again, breaking news. We now apparently have a brand new pope for all you Catholic folk out there. By the way, our telephone number, I want you to write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, a lot of the Democrats are very upset over the renaming of the Gulf of America. And the reality is that the Democrats have been renaming everything. Anything named after a white guy gets renamed in America. It doesn't matter if it's a park, if it's a street, if it's a building, if it's a fort. If it's named after a white guy, and may I just offer a caveat, if it's named after a Southern white guy with any sort of direct or not so direct lineage to the War of Northern Aggression, then it's definitely getting renamed. And MTG was pointing all of this out, saying, hey, look, what's the big deal? You're attacking us for wanting to change names. You guys do it all the time. Cut number 8.
Speaker, I'm honored to be here today in front of the American people as we debate the merits of the Gulf of America Act. This would rename the body of water formerly known as the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. This is such an important thing to do for the American people. The American people deserve pride in their country, and they deserve pride in the waters that we own, that we protect with our military and our Coast Guard, and all of the businesses that prosper along these waters. But Democrats today are outraged. They're outraged because they love the cartels more than any other people in the world, more than the American people. They spent the past 4 years funding and voting for policies that ripped our borders open and allowed our country to be invaded by millions and millions of people. Drugs and fentanyl that murdered over 300 Americans every single day. Human trafficking, child sex trafficking, terrorists, and millions of people that we have no idea where they are in the interior of this country. Democrats are outraged today because they are America last, and they hate anything that would give the American people pride.
And it's true. I mean, she's absolutely right. So good for you, MTG. And I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you support the renaming of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America? I just love it. It's got a great ring to it. People love it. You can't help but smile. And I think, and MTG pointed this out, the idea of renaming the Gulf of America also brings a little bit of pride back to America, right? Those are our waters. And I'm just going to say this, and I don't mean to offend our listeners out in California. I really don't, and hear me on this. And I mean this with great sincerity. But your beaches suck. I mean, they really do. And I know it's not, look, it has nothing to do with you. It's not your fault. But if you go down to places like Malibu or Huntington Beach or where Venice Beach, and you dip your toe into the waters there in California, into the Pacific Ocean, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, your toe is going to freeze off. And number two, when you bring your big toe out of the waters, let's say you dip your big toe into the waters of the Pacific Ocean, when you dip that toe back out of the water, it's going to be covered in seaweed. And if you're in Santa Monica, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have a hypodermic needle sticking out of your foot. All that to say, and again, we love California, but your beaches suck. The best beaches in America. And it's not even, look, let's talk, can we talk Coney Island for just a moment? What a filthy beach. Look, great hot dogs at Nathan's, no doubt about it. But what a filthy place. If you want a beautiful, pristine, it's almost like God poured Dixie sugar crystals all over the Gulf of America and then just turned the waters crystal clear blue. That screams America to me. It screams joy and happiness and patriotism. Lee Greenwood might even write a new verse to God Bless the USA. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, a lot of people have been asking about our good friend like Mark from the Villages. We also have folks in Arkansas, other places, and they send us these shout-outs. They don't have time to get on the phone. They're at work. Maybe they have time to make a quick phone call. And so many of you folks are now using the app, the Todd Stern Show app, and you're sending us shout-outs. And I want to encourage you to go over to our website, toddsterns.com. Check out the app. Click on the app button, free of charge. We don't charge you a single penny for this. And it's a great way for you to be able to listen to the Todd Stern Show in your office. If you're out on the road somewhere, maybe your town doesn't carry the show, you'll be able to listen to it free of charge. And you can also take advantage of some of the great features like the shout back. So you can actually leave us a message and we'll play those on the show. So again, toddsterns.com, and click on our app. We would love for you to download that. Folks, it's pretty exciting. Got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. Could you imagine What would happen if they accidentally just shot the white smoke up where they're, whoop, oops, our bad. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. The Vatican just moments ago announcing that apparently they've elected a new pope. It takes a 2/3 majority vote of the cardinals that have been meeting in conclave in the Sistine Chapel. And they've got somebody that we will know who that person is probably within the next hour or so when they come out onto the balcony at St. Peter's Square. I got a text from somewhere. Are you sure it wasn't Willie Nelson? No, it was not Willie Nelson. That's the wrong kind of smoke. But, you know, it's interesting how they do this, because a lot of people are, okay, how do they get the black smoke and how do they get the white smoke? Black smoke means they do not have a pope. The white smoke, it means they do. Well, it turns out that they actually used a cast iron stove, and they mix up these chemicals, and the chemical mixtures determine the color of the smoke. It's pretty fascinating here. Apparently, for the black smoke, they use chemicals like, they use a component of coal tar and sulfur, which creates this dark black smoke. The white smoke, they use a potassium chlorate, lactose, and pine rosin. Oh, there you go. We should try that here, Dylan. When we get a new morning host for KWAM, we can just send the smoke signals up. I like that. Is that sacrilegious? I don't know. I'm a Baptist, so I can't answer that question. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901 260-5926. So look, Marco Rubio, God love him. There's a lot of chaos right now at Columbia University in New York City, up on the upper West Side. And there were dozens of pro-Hamas activists, about 80 or so of them. And these folks, they were wearing the hijabs, they were wearing the masks, and it got really violent last night. And these are not the brightest bulbs. So apparently the JV terrorist stormed the library and took over the library. Now, here's what I love about what's happening across America is that law enforcement, they're now being allowed to do their jobs. And so the security guards there at Columbia came up with a brilliant idea. Once they got all of the pro-Hamas terrorists into the library, the security guards shut all the doors and literally locked all the doors. So they locked the bad guys inside the library. And they were not allowed to exit that library until they showed their identification. So it created all sorts of chaos. The NYPD was called in, and they backed up the security guards. It was a pretty brilliant situation. So, again, these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas kids causing all sorts of mayhem. The demonstrators pushed past a library security guard. They hauled tote bags and backpacks, went to the main reading room, chanting all sorts of anti-Semitic slogans. Some of the protesters tried to leave but were stopped by a row of Columbia public safety officers who held them in the room until they identified themselves. Let us out! You're holding us hostage! You brutes! You brutes! You Jewish brutes! And the security guards are like, yeah, you can holler all you want to, but you're not going anywhere. It was really a pretty brilliant, it was a stroke of genius on the part of the security guards. So look, this is where Marco Rubio comes into it. So Rubio put out a statement last night. Rubio's watching all of this stuff. By the way, God love the security officers. They were able to evacuate a lot of the Jewish students. They were also able to evacuate a lot of students who were just caught up in this, and they were just studying in the library. So Rubio comes out and says, look, here's the deal, folks. We're going to start investigating these kids. We know who they are, and we've got all their info. We've got their student IDs, and we're going to investigate these people. So Rubio has officially announced he is reviewing the student visas of all of the anti-Israel protesters who took over the library last night at Columbia University. And he says anybody who is there who is from outside the country, they will have their legal status revoked and they will be deported. And I say, good for you, Mr. Secretary. I'm just so pleased. I don't know about you folks. Wasn't so sure about Rubio, but it turns out he's doing an amazing job. As a matter of fact, Marco Rubio is probably, aside from the border czar Tom Holman, I think it has been one of the most effective cabinet members for Donald Trump. I really do. So I have a question for you on this issue of deportations. And you folks in Oklahoma, hate to break it to you, but you got a rhino in your midst. That would be Senator James Lankford. Senator Lankford came out yesterday saying illegals deserve due process. Cut number four.
What's been confusing on this is some people see due process like as an American citizen. That's a right to a jury trial. That's all those different things. That's not true for due process for someone who's not a citizen of the United States. It's a different process. It's often just literally what people call an immigration judge. Is not a typical federal judge or a state judge. This is someone that's in the bureaucracy, that their task for DHS is that task on it. So they're a government employee career that's an immigration judge. So it's a very different process for it. But yes, there is a need to be able to give an opportunity for someone to be able to make an argument before they're removed in the country.
So Lankford is now siding with the Democrats who say that these illegals deserve due process. So, okay, well, let's talk about due process. What about due process to get into the country? What about that? Now, it seems to me that if you're here illegally, and look, you want due process. Here's due process. Sir, are you here in America illegally?
Oh, sí, señor. Sí.
All right. Yep, good. Bye-bye. Back to Mexico for you, sir.
Oh, no. No. Me love America.
No. Back across the border. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Today, by the way, is Skilled Labor Day. I don't know who comes with these holidays, but I like this one. Skilled Labor Day. Are you somebody who works in a skilled trade? Maybe HVAC, or maybe you're a welder or a steam fitter. This is the day that we celebrate you and the great work that you are doing. There is an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal, and the Wall Street Journal went and interviewed all of these high school juniors. So these kids are, 16 years old, and many of them are taking shop class. Their high school actually has a shop class. Now, I want to stop for just a moment, and I'm just curious, in your neighborhoods, in your communities, do your public schools, do they have shop classes? Do they offer things like home economics? Are they teaching the young girls how to maintain homes? Are they teaching them about how to make food? Are they No, these are not sexist things, Dylan. It's just the reality. Typically, the ladies, the men, they bring home the bacon, and the ladies, they cook the bacon. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. That doesn't make me sexist. I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm off target here. Let me get back to it. So anyway, the Wall Street Journal, going to Philadelphia, of all places, at Father Judge High School. By the way, Father Judge, named after the priest who was the first official fatality of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He was a chaplain with the FDNY and was killed at 9/11. But I digress. Elijah Rios will not graduate from high school until next year, but he already has a job offer, one that pays $68,000 a year. Rios is a junior taking welding classes at Father Judge, a Catholic high school in Philadelphia, and they work closely with companies looking for workers in the skilled trades. Employees are dealing with a shortage of such workers as baby boomers retire. And they've increasingly begun courting high school students like Rios, a hiring strategy they say is likely to become even more crucial in the coming years. So let me stop there for just a moment. So this is a big deal. And Mike Rowe was on Fox News yesterday actually talking about this very issue. There are many people around the country, and I know we have a lot of these guys that listen to us. You listen to the talk show out on your job sites, your work sites, maybe a lot of people in North Mississippi and the farm country listening to us on their tractors today and in West Tennessee. All that to say, we have a massive audience, and many of them are good hardworking blue collar folk. And I'm curious to know if you have discovered that it is just hard finding people that want to work. You guys that own these construction companies and electrical companies. Because Mike Rose says we got a big problem in the country. He said that right now they've got just tons of jobs, hundreds of thousands of jobs. Most of them do not require a four-year degree, but there are just people that don't want to work. And many of the people not wanting to work are not Generation Z guys. They are young men in the prime of their lives. The jobs are plentiful, but older guys just are not wanting to go out and find work. Many of them are not even motivated to work. Take a listen to Mike Rowe. Cut 10.
First of all, every day is skilled labor day, or at least it should be. Secondly, you can see it in virtually every number. But the numbers are confusing. You know, you've got, at this point, I think it's 7.6 million open jobs. Most of them don't require a four-year degree. And the feeling, and I was at that energy conference with Governor Perry a couple of weeks ago, and he's so right. This is at the absolute top of mind. Every CEO who was there, talking, whether it's AI or data centers, it all trickles down to skilled labor. Gen Z got the memo in some way, shape, or form. And you can see it. The four-year degrees are trending down in that cohort, and there's a lot more interest in electricians and plumbers and steam fitters and welders and pipe fitters and the stuff my foundation has been focused on for 16 years. So,
we're
going to
need them, as Governor Perry pointed out, when we build these data centers. So, massive investment. We need skilled workers.
There's need. And there's criticality. Like, we've always needed them. And people understand you don't want to wait 3, 4, 5 days for an electrician or a plumber. But what the governor's talking about, and people really are likening this to a modern-day Manhattan Project. You've got the maritime industrial base trying to hire 140,000 tradespeople right now, 80,000 openings in automotive. You just go down the list. And this is the thing that worries me, too. I'm rooting for the president with the offshoring, the reshoring, the reinvigoration of manufacturing, but we got 482,000 open jobs in manufacturing right now.
Almost a half a million open jobs they can't find workers for. I'm wondering if you are finding this to be true in your towns and your cities. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, they found that the share of U.S.-born men ages 16 to 64 not participating in the labor force has nearly doubled over the last six decades, from 11.3% in 1960 to more than 22% in 2024. And you can have that argument, I think, about why that is. I think one of the reasons, you cannot underestimate the damage that Barack Obama did to the country. And it wasn't necessarily through his policies as much as, I mean, trust me, those really hurt the country. But it was this mindset. I mean, he was playing mind games with America's young people, and specifically the millennial generation. And the millennials, those are the prime workers right now, all right? And what is it that Barack Obama told this generation? You have to get a college education. If you don't have a college education, you're not going to be able to reach your full potential. You're not going to be able to claim your American dream. If you don't get a four-year degree, you are a lesser than person. I mean, that's ultimately what Obama and his administration were telling all of these young kids that were still in high school, and many of them had no inclination of going to college. And what did they do? They went to college. They got saddled with just a massive amount of debt. They've got degrees that are now worthless, and many of them are either still living at home or they can't even afford to begin living and claiming their American dream. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is out there, and one of the great benefits of what he's doing with the trade wars is that he's forcing these companies to reopen factories here in America. But to do that, they need workers. And that brings me back to this very clever idea that they've got in Philadelphia, where these local companies, construction workers, you name it, construction companies rather, they're working now with local high schools that have shop class. I think it's a brilliant idea. So just think about this for a moment. You've got a kid. Let's say you have two kids. You have twin boys, 18 years old, graduating high school. One wants to go to college and major in, I don't know, English lit with a minor in lesbian studies. And the other decides, you know what, I want to become a welder. The kid who's going to be the welder is actually the kid that's going to take care of you later in life. Because that kid coming out of high school could be making upwards of $70,000 a year. According to the Wall Street Journal, employers ranging from the local transit system to get this submarine manufacturers make regular visits to the high school's welding classroom. They bring all sorts of swag. They pitch students on their workplaces. And when Rios, the 17-year-old, graduates next year, he actually plans to work as a fabricator at a local equipment maker for nuclear recycling and other sectors. A job that pays $24 an hour plus regular overtime and paid vacations. The teenager says it's a little overwhelming, like this company wants you. That company wants you. And this is a kid who grew up in a neighborhood surrounded by drug addicts and the homeless, and he said he was really determined to make a better life for himself. Quote, it feels honestly like I'm an athlete getting all this attention from the pro teams. I mean, isn't that a wonderful feeling? And what a great quote from this teenager who's saying, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of like signing day, and maybe that's what they ought to do with these high schools. You know, they haul out the high school athletes and the football player, and they're going to go play at the University of Memphis, and they have a big signing thing, and they bring out the hats and the university swag, and mom and dad are standing behind them, and they're all very excited. Could you imagine if we started doing that for these high school kids taking welding classes, and instead of going to college, they're signing with a submarine company, making $70,000 a year at 18 years old? I love this. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Murph in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hello, Professor Murph.
Hey, Dr. Starnes. I may not have my numbers 100%, but there was a young lady named Stossel that wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal about 3 or 4 weeks ago stating the very same thing you're discussing. A person with a degree in sociology to become a social worker, the median salary is somewhere around $45,000 a year to be a social worker and put up with all that drama. She also compared that to an assembly line worker at General Motors who starts out at has the potential to earn $100,000 plus. And I was umpiring a couple of baseball games, high school baseball games, 2 weeks ago, talking to the catchers. One catcher is going to be a diesel mechanic, and the other catcher is going into HVAC, and they're going to a local tech school, and they're going to walk out of that front door on graduation day and pick and choose their own employer.
It's really remarkable. Yeah, I'm reading that. I just called up that story you were referring to. It was about a month ago in the Wall Street Journal. A good man for U.S. manufacturing is hard to find.
And I remember when I was their age, working at General Motors Parts Division in St. Louis, making $3.50 an hour, and I didn't think that was that much money in the world.
And yeah, I remember those days not too terribly long ago, my friend. Not too long ago.
I worked there 4 summers in a row, and it put me through Memphis State University.
Now, Murph, a lot of folks are, we have a lot of new listeners, and they may not know that you are a retired history teacher in the public schools. And I'm curious, Murph, back when you were in school, did you guys have a shop class and things of that nature?
Germantown High School had an automotive class and a metals class, and that was about it. Now, Collierville High School now has a welding class, an automotive class, agriculture class, nursing, introduction to nursing classes, they're on, in my humble opinion, on the cutting edge and way ahead of everybody else. And the and those classes are packed, and they're good, solid American kiddos that want to get out there and help, you know, help American society. So I'm all for it. It's just, and I, for the life of me, Dr. Starnes cannot figure out why college is so expensive. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's just so much excess, so many classes. I mean, how many people are finding jobs in lesbian literature and yarn making? I don't know that many people. I mean, I just don't get it. You get back to the basics, Murph, and I think that's really what it's all about, getting back to the basics.
We grew up in the St. Louis area, and it was less expensive for yours truly to attend Memphis State University than it was the University of Missouri, Missouri at Columbia.
Is that right?
Back then, a Big Eight school. And it baffles modern science, but I'll let you go, good buddy. Take care.
Murph, thank you. Always good hearing from you. Let's go to North Carolina. Beth is on the line. Hi, Beth. What's going on?
Well, Todd, I just had to call and brag about our school system here in North Carolina where I work at. I work for a school system that we have a career in technical institute. We cover our automotive institute has kids that win every year in the competitions and go to the NASCAR tech schools and do some of these big diesel schools because they have been taught so much and they've done so well. Not just the auto tech, but also we have got a welding class that is packed right now and 104 kids waiting to get in, and they're looking to get it expanded, hoping to get these kids in by September the 1st.
Wait, you've got a waiting list for the welding class?
We sure do. 104 kids are waiting on it.
Wow.
We've got a pharmacy tech program. We've got nursing and healthcare program. We have got a culinary program that is exceptional. It is just great. We've got the cosmetology program. We've got rescue and fire programs. We've got all kinds of programs that they're adding all the time. And they're also starting to lean more toward the robotics as far as training kids in the computers and robotics. A lot of the companies are now going to as far as, you know, some of the manufacturing things.
I so, love hearing this. Beth, what is the name of the school district?
It's Iredell Statesville Schools.
Wow. All right. So, well,
we listen to you on WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina, and I just had to call and brag on our school system. I personally, we work through the school nutrition program, and it is, I think we have got one of the best school systems in the state, in my personal opinion.
Beth, this is exciting, and I want you to tell everybody over there in the school system that we said hello and we salute them. I guarantee you they're going to be getting calls from around the country with people wanting to know how they made it so successful. That's huge. Over 100 kids on the waiting list to get into the welding class. Beth, I've got to run here. Thank you for doing that, though, and certainly a great school district that you guys ought to be proud of. All right, 901-260-5926. Maybe your school's doing something like that. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back. We're getting some intel out of Washington where it looks as though Tom Tillis has been successful in tanking the nomination of Ed Martin to be the next U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Tillis needs to be primaried. He really does. There's been some talk of Laura Trump maybe jumping into the race and beating Tillis. I mean, the numbers, they've done some polling, which shows Laura Trump would do very well against Tom Tillis. But the fact of the matter is, North Carolina, your senator, is standing in the way of President Trump's agenda. The president just saying this moments ago, we'll pull some of this audio for the next hour of the show. The president says, I want to say Ed is unbelievable. Hopefully we can bring him into, whether it's DOJ or whatever. I have to be straight. I was disappointed. A lot of people were disappointed. And no doubt about that. But shame on Tom Tillis. The man is a Democrat disguised as a Republican. No doubt about it. And I hope that you voters there in North Carolina punish him I hope you Republicans in North Carolina consider censuring your senator. Unbelievable. All right, I've got to take a quick break here, folks. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. President Biden is on The View, hanging out with the squawking magpies today. And he is in rare form. I don't know who is pushing him out here to do all these interviews, but it's going about as well as you might expect. But one of the things that really fascinated me is something that he said just mere moments ago about Kamala Harris. Cut 15, please.
And it was like 2016 all over again.
Yeah.
So why do you think the vice president lost, and were you surprised?
No. I wasn't surprised, not because I didn't think the vice president was the most qualified person to be president. She is. She's mm-hmm. qualified to be president of the United States of America.
Right.
But I was surprised. I wasn't surprised because they went the route of the sexist route, the whole route. I mean, this is yeah. a woman. She's this. She's that. I mean, it really, I've never seen quite as successful and a consistent campaign undercutting the notion that a woman couldn't lead the country and a woman of mixed race.
What? Wait, I'm who? What? Oh, he went there. Now, wait a second. I thought she wasn't a person of mixed race, right? I mean, at some point, she became the first black. She was on her way to becoming the first black president, female president of these great United States. But now we're back to saying that she's a person of mixed race. Now, this is interesting because when she was running for the Senate in California, she was identifying as an Indian American. But then when she became vice president, she all of a sudden became a black American, and she was going on and on and on, and she was trying to she was preaching at all the black churches, and she was dropping her G's, and she was giving out her collard green recipes. Remember that? She prepared collard greens in the bathtub. Somebody said they actually tasted of Pert. That's the shampoo. And I guess so if you're making your collard greens in the bathtub. Nobody does that, by the way. So anyway, Biden's out there saying she lost in 2024 because she is a woman of mixed race. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Is that the reason why the American people rejected in landslide numbers one Kamala Harris? Biden also was making the appearance on The View to, again, reassure everybody that the front porch light is still on. Cut 14.
That all the projects, the benefits. How do you lead the world without having the best infrastructure in the world? How do you lead the world without having the best health care in the world? How do you lead the world without having the best education system in the world? How do you lead the world when you don't have that done?
I don't know how do you have I don't know. What did he say? So, good to see you, Uncle Joe. Good to see you, sir. Anyway, he went on to blame Donald Trump for the border crisis in America. You cannot make this stuff up. Cut 12.
When you announced that you wouldn't be seeking re-election, only 28% of the country thought that the country was on the right track. Now, you are understandably very proud of many achievements in your administration, but do you take any responsibility for not hearing the concerns of voters on the border security or cost of living sooner? And do you take any responsibility for Trump's re-election?
Yes, I do, because, look, I was in charge, and he won, so, you know, I take responsibility, number one. But number two, you know, you remember, we put together a commission leading with one of the most conservative members of the United States Senate from Oklahoma running it. We came up with a significant means by which we could deal with the border. Yeah. What did Trump do? He got on the telephone and he called Republicans, do not support it. Mm-hmm. It's legal. It'll work. It'll make Biden look good. Don't do it. Yeah. And they backed off. Mm-hmm. They backed off.
It's just not true, though. It's just not true at all. And either Joe Biden is so senile he forgot, or he's just outright lying. Either way, not a good look for Joe Biden. Oh, and here's something else. They asked him about his cognitive decline, and it was so bad. His answer was so bad that Mrs. Jill, Dr. First Lady, Mrs. Jill Biden, had to jump in and answer it for him. Take a listen.
Mr. President, since you left office, there have been a number of books that have come out deeply sourced from Democratic sources that claim in your final year there was a dramatic decline in your cognitive abilities in the final year of your presidency. What is your response to these allegations, or are these sources wrong?
They are wrong. There's nothing to sustain that, number one. Number two, you know, think of what we're left with. We're left with a circumstance where We had an insurrection when I started. Not since the Civil War. We had a circumstance where we were in a position that the pandemic, because of the incompetence of the last outfit, right, end up over a million people dying. And we're also in a situation where we found ourselves unable to deal with a lot of just basic issues, and which I won't go into in the interest of time. And so we went to work, and we got it done. And, one of the things
And at that point, Mrs. Biden jumps in and takes over the interview. It's that bad. Again, there's no reason for this man to be out there. Somebody actually thinks that he could still have some sort of a role within the Democrat Party. That's the only reason why he's out there right now. And that person is clearly smoking dope. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to go back to an interesting story here, and we briefly touched on this a few days ago when Nick Saban was invited to be at the White House. And now we understand that Nick Saban has been appointed to a panel by President Trump. So the Trump administration is now considering an executive order, this is from the Wall Street Journal, that could increase scrutiny of the explosion in payments to college athletes, talking about the NILs. And I would contend that NILs have pretty much destroyed college athletics, and especially in basketball. And so Trump met with Saban, and Saban has been a huge critic of the NILs, and said, hey, look, we've got to do something about this, Mr. President, and it looks like the president agrees with him. Saban apparently told the president that he believes the influx of money has damaged college sports. And the president agrees. Trump said that he's going to take a look at crafting an executive order, and they're starting to wonder what would that look like. How exactly do you reform the NILs? Because that's what Saban is wanting to do here. Saban is not wanting to get rid of them altogether. He's wanting to reform the NIL process. And how do you do that? Now, Saban says it's causing an uneven playing field, and basically equates it to an arms race among nations, except in this case, it's an arms race among the powerhouse schools, chief among them being the Southeastern Conference, the greatest football and sports conference in all of America, as God intended. Now, college athlete compensation used to be limited by NCAA rules, and basically back in the old days, which was around 2000 or 2020, you got a scholarship, you got room and board. And now you're looking at some of these kids that are making more money right now than people that are currently in the NFL. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, because right now it's a free-for-all. Nearly 4,300 Division I football players switched schools in 2024. That's insanity. An estimated $1.6 billion changed hands. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. And coaches, meanwhile, are now lamenting that entire rosters can turn over between seasons. And it's true. As a matter of fact, I believe it is Baylor, that may be another school, where literally they're going to have a brand new team next year. None of the players are returning. Saban considered one of the greatest coaches in college sports history. And he retired, in 2023, won 7 national championships. Pretty remarkable. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that President Trump should intervene here? Do we need to save college sports from the NIL? Now, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Your calls coming up. All right, so we're getting new information now. The new Pope has been identified, and this is going to be interesting. He's a Chicago native. So for the first time in Pope history, we've got an American Pope. His name is Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, and he's going to be known, his Pope name is Pope Leo. So there you go. We're getting a little intel. There's not a lot of information about him just yet, but he is being seen as a progressive, which is not good news for all of you conservative Catholics out there, you traditionalists. Of course, your previous pope was a communist, so there's that. So, but he's not as far to the left as Pope Francis. But Prevost, seen overall as a centrist on some key issues, social issues, he's viewed as a progressive. 69 years old, and again, he is a Chicago native. All right, well, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mark, listening to us on WTJS in Milan, Tennessee. Hi, Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was just going to address the question about why we thought Kamala Harris was not elected.
Is it now President Biden? You just heard President Biden, Mark, and he said the reason why is all you people are racist. You didn't vote for her because she's a mixed race woman.
Well, I can only speak for Mark, but that had nothing to do with my vote. From what I saw and what I have seen of her, she was not competent to be president, nor is she competent to be the governor of California.
Is that so? So for you, it was more the policies and not the skin color.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark, it pains me. These Democrats, they love playing the race card, and they do that a lot because they know it's effective. But the reality is, I think, Mark, by and large, an overwhelming majority of the American people are over the whole race stuff, and they really do want to elect the most qualified person, regardless of skin color.
I think that's correct. And again, speaking for myself, if we have a qualified black candidate or whatever, race or gender, and I think that's the person to lead this country forward, then that's who I'm going to vote for.
All right. Mark, well said, sir, and thank you for listening to us today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Curious you Catholics out there to hear about your brand new pope. Pope Leo is his name. I want to finish a thought. I had a few more thoughts about the NILs before we had the breaking news. I think President Trump understands what's going on here. The president is a huge sports guy. He was very big and instrumental in the old USFL. As a matter of fact, he owned the New Jersey Generals, which is how he got to be good friends with Herschel Walker back in the day. You may not, Dylan, this may come as a surprise to you. I mean, you're our big sports guy here, but Back in 1981, Donald Trump actually tried to buy the Baltimore Colts.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was really determined. The Colts at that time were still considering relocating. They had not relocated to Baltimore. They were originally Indianapolis Colts, and then they went to Baltimore. And or vice versa. Anyway, a couple of other groups were able to commandeer. That's right. They relocated the team, and then they became the Indianapolis Colts. It's all very – and who was it? Oh, it was the Cleveland Browns. So the Browns were the ones that packed up in the dark of night and moved to Baltimore and causing all sorts – I'm trying to remember my NFL history on the fly here. It's been a mess. Then in 1984, Trump tried to buy the Dallas Cowboys. So Trump has been – he has been plugged into the sports scene for a very long time. And good for you, Mr. President. And I hope he does step in, and I hope he does intervene, because quite frankly, if he doesn't, I mean, I'm just curious if we have any college football fans out there, but have you noticed that the NIL is actually impacting your college sports experience? I just didn't find it. It was really hard during the basketball season this year, just to sort of get behind anybody. I don't have time every year to meet the brand new team. I mean, why? And by the way, one of the things they ought to consider here is, all right, well, look, fine, you can have the NIL, but you have to commit. You've got to spend all 4 years. If you want that $5 million package, you're going to have to stay all 4 years at the same team. And maybe you could structure it like that. You want out for 3 years? Okay, well, you've got to take a cut. You've got to sacrifice some of your cash. Let's go to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Justin, what say you?
Hey, Todd. So from my understanding, especially, you know, the biggest, I guess, stinger, what's wrong with the NIL, where it's literally the wild, wild west right now as far as money and athletes is all these boosters have control over the NIL money, and the universities have no say-so. So what I've been hearing is, and I agree with it, there needs to be some kind of reform where the universities will be able to basically dish out NIL. And, you know, what it needs to become is, this is almost like college sports, especially where we're paying now, is a minor league team. There needs to be a cap set for every university. The universities should be able to control the NIL money of paying their athletes, because right now, I mean, it's like what we used to know. Do you remember Albert Means when he was at University of Alabama?
Oh, wow. That's a blast.
Yeah. So it's basically like that right now, is whatever booster you have has the most money or wants to put it out there, or whatever business, they can go anywhere in the country and just pay and pick your team off player by player. And it's ruining college sports right now. So I'm for some kind of reform and put the control back in the university's hand.
Justin, we got you. It makes a lot of sense, and you're right about those boosters. By the way, you know who the you talk about boosters. Texas high school football, that's off the charts insane. You folks in Houston know what I'm talking about. All right, Justin, got to run, my friend. Good hearing from you, and thanks for listening in. We're trying to get more intel on Pope Leo. They're chanting it like a soccer chant right now in St. Peter's Square. We'll be right back, everybody. So apparently everybody is really stunned by the selection of the American Pope, Robert Francis Prevost, to be known as Pope Leo XIV. They're saying he is a moderate. Others are calling him a progressive. And we'll see how all this plays out over the next couple of hours as people are poring over his background and his writings. He served as a missionary in Peru. He originally was from Chicago, and now the very first American pope, and it seems to be stunned. It really seems to have stunned a lot of pope watchers in the Catholic Church. So there you go. As a bishop, though, in Peru, He did oppose a government plan to add teachings on gender in schools. The new Pope now says the promotion of gender ideology is confusing because it seeks to create genders that don't exist. So that's pretty much all we have right now, as people are trying to come to grips with the brand new Pope just announced, shocking everybody. Nobody saw this coming. And we have an American Pope for the first time in the history of the Catholic Church. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is Congressman, and this is, by the way, a congressman grilling the chairman of USA Fencing. Speaking of gender, there's been a huge controversy on boys and female sports. Cut number two.
You think that parents who don't want their daughters competing against men and women's sports are whiny?
No, sir.
You don't? Why did you write that on social media? I've got a picture here where you posted that. You were allegedly responding to a parent who didn't want their daughter being beaten up by men in sports competitions. You said, I'm not going to pull her from the sport and write a whiny email announcing my departure.
Sir, Mr. Congressman Jack had asked me about that and want to be crystal clear. That was an inappropriate message.
Do you think that they're cowardly?
Sir, no, I don't. I don't at all. And in fact,
why did you write that on social media?
I regret it, sir. I deleted it shortly after posting, and I certainly don't feel that way anymore. And given a lot of the messages that we receive and even conversations that I've had.
Do you think that parents who don't want their daughters competing against men in sports should be compared to the Ku Klux Klan?
No, absolutely not. And I acknowledge that I said that in the message, sir.
Why did you do that?
That was inappropriate.
That was inappropriate?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that you're right. That is inappropriate. I'd like to read what you wrote and what you posted on social media.
Sure.
Responding allegedly to a lady who had these concerns. The only wizard that's going to dig you out of the myopic hole you've put yourself and your family in is one of the, quote, grand wizard variety.
Inappropriate, sir. And I acknowledge that I said it, and I will commit to never making a message like that again.
That was in response to a parent, according to you on social media, who had a problem with this. Was this a real email that you were responding to?
It was a real email, sir. I did not respond to it and hit
send. This was a real email. Did an actual parent write this, or did you write this email?
It was written by an actual person claiming to be a parent. They were not a member of our
organization. Were you that actual person?
No, sir.
You were not that actual person, but you staged this whole interaction.
The response, sir, was not real, and I regret that.
Okay.
All right. By the way, there was another interaction, and it wasn't with USA Fencing. It was a radical gender activist who literally said that the issue regarding boys playing in girls volleyball is that what they need to do is outlaw spiking the ball. So the leftist actually said, well, if we're going to protect girls, what we need to do is just outlaw the spiking of the ball in volleyball, which is the entire point of volleyball, ladies and gentlemen. So Bret Baier, last night on Fox News Channel, had Bernie Sanders, everybody's favorite socialist, Uncle Bernie. You know what's interesting about a socialist? Bernie Sanders owns more homes than a lot of capitalists. And Bernie Sanders was grilled over this tour he's been taking, the Fighting the Oligarchy tour, with AOC, and Bret Baier called him out on it, cut number three.
You know, Alyssa Slotkin, senator from Michigan, she said you shouldn't be using oligarch. It's over people's head. You've gotten criticized from other people. Free Beacon says Bernie Sanders spent $221,000 on private jets fighting the oligarchy tour paid for by friends of Bernie Sanders. That you've spent millions of dollars in campaign funds on private jet travel over the years. How do you push back on both of those things?
When's the last time you saw Donald Trump during a campaign mode at National Airport?
No. It doesn't. But he's also not fighting the oligarchy.
No. You run a campaign and you do 3 or 4 or 5 rallies in a week. The only way you can get around to talk to 30,000 people. Think I'm going to be sitting on a waiting line at United waiting, you know, what, 30,000 people are waiting? That's the only way you can get around. No apologies for that. That's what campaign travel is about. We've done it in the past. We're going to do it in the future.
And you think that this is hitting a mark? You think it's scratching the itch that voters want to hear from?
I think at a time when the people on top are doing phenomenally well, when seniors, working class people are struggling, people want to hear action to stand up to the people who have the wealth and the power and create an economy that works for all of us, not just the people on top.
Who do you think you are, Brett Baer? Me, Bernie Sanders, the socialist has to stand online at Spirit Airlines? Who do you think you are? Next thing you know, you're going to tell me I got to fly coach? Nobody flies coach. I'm Bernie Sanders. Full stop, Brett Baer. Full stop. All right, so Bernie Sanders is now saying that he has to save America. And Bernie Sanders, he feels that it's beneath his dignity to stand in line with people waiting to board a jetliner. Much like, I suppose, our good friend, the congresswoman from Texas. And Jasmine Crocker, remember what is it? Last week, she was at Hartsfield Jackson Airport in Atlanta, Georgia, and you had the poor little handicapped people in the wheelchairs. You got the military personnel, and she was like, "Put me in front of all these crippled white people. I'm Jasmine Crockett. I got a shucking job in first class." And she did. She literally stepped in front of the handicapped people. You can't make up the sheer hypocrisy coming out of the Democrats these days. And so Bernie is basically taking a page out of Jasmine Crockett and saying, you know what? It is beneath me to stand in line with the regular people, the common folk. And sure, his jet may blow a hole in the ozone, but he's fighting the oligarchy, man. He's fighting the oligarchy. Oh, geez, hello. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, we've got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You never know where your next unforgettable experience will pop up. That's why bringing along an American Express card opens the door to rewards wherever you go. Morning coffee run with an old friend? Earn cash back. Weekend getaway? Earn miles. Dinner at the hottest restaurant in town? You get the idea. No matter the place or the plan, Amex rewards your inner explorer. Learn about card options at americanexpress.com. Terms apply.
All right, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax Television. We will have live reports from Rome, from Vatican City. Our team at Newsmax, they're covering the news. And it's sort of history-making, ladies and gentlemen. For the first time ever in the history of the Catholic Church, an American citizen was just elected Pope. So Pope Leo XIV from Chicago. You know, I wonder if he's a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan. Do we know? Can we check on that, Dylan? Let's find out. Or is he a deep dish guy? Or the Italian beef? These are important questions. The Protestants, we want to know. So look, Newsmax, you just heard about this. Going public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans just like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax, one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax. Audience growing 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. By the way, if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor, or you can get more info right now at NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. And just a reminder, this communication is for informational purposes only, shall not be intended to, shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Final note there on Bernie Sanders. As he is defending his use of a private jet. This is a man who's literally his only job has been as an elected official. That's it. He's had no other job, no other work experience other than working as a United States senator. What I find fascinating about Bernie Sanders is this guy is worth more than $3 million. How is that possible? How is it that an avowed socialist who's never held a private sector job became a multimillionaire? Anybody want to explain that one? It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. By the way, Bernie Sanders also owns three houses. Now, I'm just curious, and I don't know that many socialists. They're just not likable people. Nothing personal, but I just, you know, it's unfortunate. I remember years ago when I was working at Fox News Channel, and I lived in Brooklyn, loved Brooklyn, lived on a great little street, Carroll Street, in Park Slope. It was a great neighborhood. I was the only conservative in the entire, well, I take that back. There was an Italian couple that, my next door neighbors, and I don't even know if they're still alive. They were an elderly Italian couple. And they would sit out on the front stoop. I guess they were in their 70s, late, early 80s. And in the afternoon, as I was coming back from Fox News Channel, they were on the front stoop and they were smoking joints. The devil's lettuce. Doobies. Very docile people, but man, did they hate Barack Obama. The things coming out of their mouths about Barack Obama, and they were, you know, they were loud Italians too. So the whole neighborhood. But anyway, I think aside from us, we were it. I mean, that was pretty much everybody else was a Democrat. So I'm getting around to the point of why socialists are unpleasant people. So anyway, across the street from me, a great family and a very well-known, nationally known psychiatrist or psychologist. And we got to be good friends. And so much so, you know, I would send Christmas cards and all this whatnot. So anyway, one of his kids played baseball at the Quaker school. And the kid was a pretty smart kid. And he was one of these kids. He'd get out in the middle of the street and he'd whack the ball. You know, it's Brooklyn. That's what you do. So anyway, one day I walked over to him. I said, "Hey, how's baseball?" And he goes, "Well, you know, I really don't know about going to this Quaker school." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with going to Quaker school? It's a great school, good education, great sports teams." He goes, "Yeah, but you know, the Quakers are pacifist." I said, "Yeah, I know. I heard that." He goes, But what does that have to do with anything? He said, "Well, I'm not sure we're actually able to win any games being pacifist." So I thought that was very clever. So I'm at the game. I'll never forget this. We were on the we had to travel across the river. We're on the opposite side of the East River at the baseball fields. And I'm sitting there with the guy. And you know how it is, baseball game. It's sort of a slow, leisurely afternoon. And so I said, what's it like being a Quaker? I've never met a Quaker before. And the guy turns to me, he goes, "Oh, yeah, we're not Quakers, we're atheists." I'm like, "Wait, what?" He goes, "Yeah, we don't believe in God." And then I'm like, I don't know why I said this. I said, "Oh, dude, I'm so sorry, I've been sending you Christmas cards every year." And I didn't want to think the guy, I was taunting the guy. And he was like, no, it's all good, it's all good. And then he, like, a few minutes later, the guy sneezes, and I'm like, "God bless you." And I'm like, "I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that." And he just kind of laughed. But he was a pleasant guy. I mean, for an atheist, right? I mean, you'd still go over and he would invite me over we'd have a cookout. He'd grill burgers and just a good guy. But the socialists, they're just mean, man. They're mean. And I don't know why. They don't have to be mean, but they are. No, I'm painting with a broad brush. I'm aware of that. Anyway, where am I going with all? Oh, yes, Bernie Sanders. Yeah, I wouldn't have a burger with this guy. But how did he get all of his money? And by the way, how many socialists do you know that actually own three houses and are worth more than $3-4 million? Something's not right there. I'm just telling you, something is not right there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we've got some problems. So it turns out that the Surgeon General, who President Trump originally nominated, some Fox News gal, no, not one of the blondes, one of the others. Well, it turns out that she really doesn't have, well, let's just say this, her medical credentials are somewhat dubious. So President Trump last night pulled her nomination, and they've nominated somebody else whose credentials may be even more somewhat dubious, primarily because she talks to trees and she may be a witch. Otherwise, a very nice person. But we'll get into more of that. Also, James Carville is now calling out Ilhan Omar for attacking white men. As a matter of fact, let's play this audio right now.
Ilhan Omar says that white men are responsible for most of the deaths in the United States. So let me get this straight. 69% of the people, I'm stuck on that number, I don't know, but 69% of the people going to vote are white. Of that, 48.5% are males. So, I don't know, my rough math is 33%. Let's go out and piss off 33% of the people that vote, and that's a smart strategy. And the people that agree with her. There are people that actually agree with her. And I think these, honestly, I think these people are more trouble than they're worth.
Yeah, that's that's James Carville calling out Ilhan Omar for going after white guys. And Carville, who was, by the way, Carville's only claim to fame is that he got William Jefferson Clinton elected. That's it. He hasn't been all that successful, but he got Clinton elected, and that was it. And so Carville understands what's happening here and that the Democrats will never, ever be able to win a national election again if they keep attacking these white guys. I mean, it's really that simple. So anyway, Carville, having some fun with this, but I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, the bigger problem for the Democrats, their party's gone. I don't think they can recover from this. It's really bad. I mean, really, really bad. You've got people like Ilhan Omar, this again, Somali refugee who we welcomed into the country. We gave her every single thing she could ever ask for. We elected her butt to Congress, and she hates us. She hates all of us, and especially all of you white folk out there. And by white folk, I mean you people of the Caucasian persuasion. She doesn't like you. And it just seems to me if you hate America that much, then go back to where you came from. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, Delta's ready when you are. But there you have it, Ilhan Omar. Is she still married to her brother? Have we? Jeez, that's a little creepy. A little creepy. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. We're also going to check on the raccoon caught smoking the meth pipe yesterday. That's a sad story. I think the raccoon's in rehab now, and that's good news. All right, stick around, everybody. The final hour of the Todd Stearns Radio Show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen of the Todd Starnes Radio Show listening audience, we have news for you from Vatican City. It turns out the Cardinals elected a woke pope. It is my condolences to all you Catholics out there. So folks now going through and checking out a lot of the social media presence of the brand new pope. This would be Pope Leo the 14th, previously known as Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, who is from Chicago. And Prevost has a very active, very vibrant social media page, and he tweets he's not a big fan of President Trump. As a matter of fact, Pope Leo shared tweets condemning President Trump for his position on illegal immigration. He's also one of these climate change folks. He shared tweets calling on Trump to act on climate. Also, the Pope, and here's one of the headlines, by the way, Cardinal Prevost never investigated abuse claims, alleged victims say. Oh, boy, that's not good. And then this one where he actually retweeted somebody who was honoring George Floyd. So this is the new Pope, ladies and gentlemen, that was just announced, just elected mere moments ago. A lot of people very surprised by this move. Very surprised. But there you have it. If you are a Catholic, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this, because the Catholic Church is much like the Southern Baptist Convention. Those are the two largest denominations in America, and both of them have been dealing with woke leadership. And it hasn't been good for the country. I mean, it really hasn't. I think when you have a weakened Catholic Church and a weakened Southern Baptist Convention, you get cultural chaos. And I think at this point in history, people are looking for clarity. And I think a lot of Gen Zers are looking for clarity. You know, it's really fascinating because Generation Z could very well be the generation that pulls us back from the abyss. And when you look at what's happening over the when you look at what's happening in the culture with so many young people returning to traditional gender roles, young men going into the workforce, young ladies deciding to stay home and to raise the family, we're starting to see a change in the culture. And by and large, Generation Z, they've seen what their parents and their grandparents have gone through, and they realize, you know what? I don't like that. That's not for me. You know, we're looking for substance in our worship services. How many of you actually go to a church where it's really just a concert with maybe a self-help sermon? And so you've got a lot of young men especially that are looking for something much deeper in their faith. And many of them are literally leaving the Protestant faith and they're becoming Catholics because they like the history and they like the depth of the theology that they're getting. So I'm curious to hear from Catholics out there about the selection of this Pope. There had been some thought that maybe, just maybe, and I've got a theory on this, and I'll give you my theory in just a moment. But there had been a thought that Pope Francis was so far to the left that the pendulum would swing back to the right. So you would have like a Pope John Paul II or maybe a Pope Benedict. But that's not what happened here. And there is some thinking that part of the reason why is because a good many of the cardinals who were appointed by the previous pope are just as far left as Pope Francis was. So it may be a long time before the Catholic Church, at least from a leadership perspective, gets back to the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church. But I'm telling you right here, folks, this is going to be interesting to watch because younger Catholics are far more conservative than Pope Francis was and Pope Leo is. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Manny, and Manny, I understand that you're Catholic.
Yes, sir.
So Manny, again, we're just learning a lot of information. First of all, your reaction, you know, you guys have a new pope.
Oh, I loved it. Called my wife up, and we're ready to go to church. We're waiting to go to church this Sunday to celebrate. And you came out with that information about woke. I said, oh, my jaw just dropped. And one of my daughters called me up. She goes, not again. And then her grandkids, they called me up. They did not like the idea.
So they're not big fans of the new pope.
No, we're going to love him because he is our pope. He is our leader. We wish everything well with him, but I thought would change, and it didn't happen. Yeah, I was hoping he'd bring back Latin to the Mass again.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he's from Chicago, but when he delivered his message there at St. Peter's Square, he actually delivered that in Italian and I believe Spanish, but not English.
Which is part Italian. I mean, I grew up in the little area called Arthur Avenue in the Bronx. And that's the Bronx version of Little Italy. And I grew up being Italian. I mean, I follow from Sicily. My mother's from Rome. So.
Well, we'll see how all this plays out. But again, from a Catholic perspective, Manny, Does that impact, let's just say you've got a liberal pope, does that impact what happens there in the local parish?
Our parish probably will not, because we still believe in God, we believe in the Bible, believe in Jesus. We're not going to let a human tell us what to do, even so we're woke. We still believe in the Almighty God.
Well, there you go. I like to hear that, Manny, and I certainly thank you for calling in. I had a little bit of a phone connection there, but I think we were able to get the gist of what Manny was telling us. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Pope Leo the 14th. By the way, this is coming from The Independent, which is a newspaper out of the UK. The papal name Leo, unsurprisingly, shows a pope who is going to be strong during a time of crisis. The last pope to choose the name Leo was more than 100 years ago. He led the church, the Catholic Church, from 1878 to 1903. The first pope with the name Leo, that was Leo the Great, led the church from the year 440 AD to 461 AD. And the pope with the shortest, one of the shortest pontificates in history, that Pope Leo was pope for just barely a month. And then he kicked the bucket. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. A lot more to cover, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, the breaking news, the Catholic Church now officially has a brand new pope from Chicago. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. So we've got to talk about what's happening with the Surgeon General, and it's weird, man, just weird, just really weird. So here we go. The previous Surgeon General nominee, President Trump had to pull her name. She was one of the Fox News channel people, not one of the blondes. I think she was a brunette. And so anyway, it turned out that she had told people she had gone to medical school in Arkansas when, in fact, she had gone to medical school in the Caribbean. And that brings us to Casey Means, who has a very interesting background, and we're going to get into that. And again, I don't know who's giving President Trump this advice, but this is the person that he believes should be our next Surgeon General. So according to Miss Means, who has never practiced medicine, by the way, she does not have a license to practice medicine. Her father, by the way, is an author of children's books, and she shares many of the similar she shares many of the same views as her father, who wrote a storybook called The Adventures of Felix the Flamingo. And at first glance, you thought, oh, what a lovely children's book, until you realize that Felix the Flamingo was encouraging children to become transgender. You're like, wait, what? That's true. She also wrote frequently, and we've got all the receipts on this one. She wrote about how she spends her quiet time. She sets up a small meditation shrine in her house, and she prays to photos of her ancestors, asking for support on her personal journey. She also writes mantras and manifestations on small pieces of paper and tucks them around the shrine. She goes to weekly group meetings, not at a church, but at something called the Self-Realization Fellowship, so that she can tune in with spirit. She says that she once worked with a spiritual medium who helped try to connect her with her spirit guides for support and guidance, and did a full moon ceremony with grounded, powerful women who were called in abundance and let go of what was not serving us. You know, I did the full moon ceremony at that yoga thing a while back. Bad situation all around. She says, I hiked alone and talked out loud to the trees. We're talking about oak trees. We're talking about willow trees. No, Dylan, azaleas are bushes. I don't think she talks to the bushes, just the trees. A pine tree. There you go. She says, I talked to the pine trees and the oak trees, letting them know I was ready for partnership and asking them if they could help. My question at this, is she one of these ecosexuals? Does she have relations with like the vegetation and the foliage? Is that what we're talking about here? It's a little creepy, man. She goes on to say, I did plant medicine experiences. Wait a second. Wait. Is she saying what I think she's saying here? What exactly are plant medicine experiences? Does that involve, and I'm just throwing this out there, rolling papers and a Bic lighter? Is that what she's talking about here? Well, it just seems to me that Dr. Means has a very, well, we could certainly say a colorful past. Laura Loomer says this is a terrible pick by President Trump. Casey Means doesn't even have an active medical license. Shouldn't the Surgeon General have an active medical license? She also appears to support witchcraft. Now, talking about praying to inanimate objects and spiritual mediums, searching for stardust, talking to trees, and doing shrooms. She is a terrible pick who is more focused on selling her books and products on her website with her brother than she is about giving sound medical advice. So we did a little bit of searching on that. Means, by the way, is a chronic disease entrepreneur, and she has very close ties to RFK Jr. and the Make America Healthy Again movement. And she's got absolutely no experience in the public health administration, but has had a very successful career selling things like supplements, ointments, creams, and also those weird teas. So there you go. What about Dr. Ben Carson? He would have been great. I know another great person, Dr. Manny Sethi from Vanderbilt University. He would have been a terrific pick for U.S. Surgeon General. So look, here's the deal with RFK Jr. I know a lot of you folks love RFK Jr. and you think the guy is the bee's knees. But the reality is, dude's a little weird and he surrounds himself with a whole lot of weirdness. So we'll see how all this plays out, but I'm not sure we need anybody pro-transgender hanging out with President Trump. I don't necessarily think we need anybody who talks to trees or cavorts with other plants or species in the wilderness. It's just a little bit weird. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. So that is the very latest there as we work to get through President Trump's nominations. When we come back, my monologue last night on Newsmax is going viral now, and a lot of folks are weighing in, a little upset, a little miffed at what I had to say last night. So we're going to play that monologue, and you can determine if, in fact, I need to be torn a new one. I don't think I do. But I'm telling you right now, a lot of folks are really upset about what I had to say about President Trump and a lot of these grifters that are leeching onto the Trump administration. Oh, by the way, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson now backs a plan to eliminate statues of Christopher Columbus. So he wants to remove all the statues of Christopher Columbus from Chicago's parks. Take a listen.
We do have to make sure that our presentation is depicting not just truth, but the best part of our existence, which is our collective humanity.
So Christopher Columbus is getting the heave-ho. Meanwhile, in New York City, have you seen this image, the statue, a 12-foot tall black woman, and she is a, let's just say, larger than life. I mean, this is a big girl. The 12-foot-tall statue of the black woman in casual clothing erected in Times Square by an artist by the name of Thomas J. Price. According to the Times Square website, Price's multi-channel presentation and sculptural installation forms a two-part takeover of Times Square. I don't know. That statue is massive and literally cast a shadow. Times Square stands as an iconic symbol and site of convergence, uniting people from all walks of life, individual stories, and experiences intersecting on a global platform. Okay, but why is there a big, tall, fat black woman in the middle of Times Square? I don't understand this. The name of the art exhibit, Grounded in the Stars. I just don't get that one. Anyway, we'll, we don't know. This is just a temporary display. But there you go. Right there in the heart of Times Square. All right, folks, hang tight. We've got to take a quick break. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Getting more information as Pope Leo XIV becomes the first American pontiff for the Catholic Church. And a lot of people are now saying that Pope Leo is Pope Leo the Liberal. So we'll be checking in on that as well. We'll be right back, everybody. We can confirm now that the Pope is apparently a Chicago Cubs fan. So there you go. We're still working on the deep dive pizza. We'll get back to you on the, or the deep dish pizza. We'll keep you updated. So look, yesterday on Newsmax, I decided to go in and have a bit of a conversation about what's going on in the administration right now. And just a reminder. And look, the president probably is having these conversations quietly, I hope, with some of these nominees and some of these picks. But it just needs to be said that, once again, that you are there to serve at the pleasure of the president and not yourself. And let's take a listen. Well, we begin with news from Vatican City. The first meeting of the conclave has concluded, and the verdict has been rendered. No Pope, not just yet. No black smoke pouring from the chimney. All right, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to regroup, and we'll get that to you in just a few moments. However, I did have Steve Gill on the national show yesterday, and Steve actually addressed some of my concerns in the back and forth with our panel. So let's listen to that. Steve Gill, host of the Steve Gill Show, and Tony Kennett, host of the nationally syndicated Tony Kennett Cast. Gentlemen, good to have you with us. Steve, I want to start with you. So where did I go wrong here? Am I being a little unfair to the administration?
I think you're being too tepid. You're not angry enough. You're not frustrated enough. I am furious that, again, we're not seeing any action. And Todd, you know I'm a big University of Tennessee fan. And it has nothing to do with my support for the University of Tennessee. But I want to see some people in orange jumpsuits being perp walked out of wherever they're still working in this administration, in Congress, or former Biden officials. They should be arresting people left and right. We know that people who were dead were collecting millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in fraudulent payments. Those payments weren't just disappearing. They were going into bank accounts. Nobody's been charged. Nobody's been arrested for any of those things. And God bless Pam Bondi. I've been a fan of hers. But if those documents are and have been sitting on the corner of her desk, maybe if she'll go to her office, she'll see them and remember she's supposed to release them and maybe stay away from Fox News for just a few hours and go to her office.
Yeah, Tony, I just don't get it. And I like Pam. I've had her on the show quite a bit, the Attorney General. I mean, no disrespect. Cash Patel as well. But it just seems to me that something is not quite right here. You know, the whole emphasis was we're going to get in there. We're going to blow things up. And right now it's really business as usual, at least from what we can tell.
I think that you run a risk whenever you're doing any kind of a campaign saying that you're going to deliver the moon. You want the moon, Mary? I'll throw a lasso up and get the moon for you. And the problem is once you get into governance, it turns out there's a lot of things going on. And so I think the big issue here is overpromising. The Trump campaign ran. Trump is very grandiose in the way that he delivers promises. And so others who were running alongside him said, oh, I'll just be grandiose like Trump is. And the problem is you have to pony up. You got to pay up when you sit down to the poker table. And I think that a lot of Americans are getting frustrated. I agree. Where are the perp walks? Where are the investigations? I'm thrilled to see massive New Mexico fentanyl busts. That's awesome. We don't need you on the ground in New Mexico. I want you to deliver on the promises or explain in very detailed fashion with as little black marker or red tape as possible why you can't deliver right now. Then you might get a little bit of leeway with people. But whenever you play the from studio back to the office roulette game, you end up losing a lot of trust. And then you have Republicans that don't participate at all because they think they're going to get screwed over. And enjoy those midterms.
And Steve, you and I, we've been in politics a long time. We've known each other for over two decades. So we know how all this plays out. The clock is ticking, my friend. And again, I don't mean to pull the emergency alarm here and the brake, but we really do need to stop and reset here. And let's understand the only thing that matters is Donald Trump and that agenda.
Well, then he has a narrow window because, you know, the midterms are going to start, you know, literally within a few months. The next
Correct.
Presidential race is going to start almost immediately. So he doesn't have a long time to get things done. And again, Congress taking another 4-day weekend off this weekend when they're taking about 2 weeks off every month. They're not getting the work done. They're not getting the job done of codifying the executive orders, and they can be swept away with a black Sharpie as soon as Trump leaves office, regardless of whether it's a rhino Republican who follows him or a Democrat. They have to put these things into law, and they're not even working overtime hours to get it done. Now, with Tillis, man, I hope that they're already run Laura, run Laura Trump bumper stickers starting to appear in North Carolina. And in Georgia, you've just had the rhino governor Kemp decide he's not going to run, even though he has about a 10-point lead over John Ossoff, the Democrat senator in Georgia. You know, I want to see Kelly Loeffler, the SBA director who ran and narrowly lost when Trump told people to stay home rather
right.
than turn out for the runoffs. She needs to start running today, step into that race and bring that red Senate seat in Georgia back home to the Republicans.
Tony, real quick here, let's talk about that North Carolina race. Mm-hmm. You know, Laura Trump, that does make a lot of sense. That is her home state. Her family is there. She's spent a lot of time in North Carolina. How do you think a Senator Trump out of North Carolina would fare?
I think it would be a devastating loss for the great leadership that she's brought to the RNC. I am so exhausted still from Ronald McDonald's leadership in the RNC. I think Whatley needs co-chair Laura Trump there. I think we can find a senator. I think that right now, more important than the individual candidate is actually getting a Congress who, doesn't take 4-day weekends. Everyone wants to wonder why we have executive agencies governing by regulatory fiat. It's because Congress is lazier than an obese middle schooler who won't play any sports. And this is only going to continue. So I hope Laura Trump stays in the RNC and ends up getting us a ton of victories in elections based on the same strategy that worked in the presidential in 24.
All right, there you go. A little bit of the back and forth over my monologue, which we really kind of started that conversation yesterday on the radio show. And just a reminder that we do not have a lot of time. Midterms are coming up, and the Republicans, if they keep messing around, they're going to lose control of either the House and or the Senate, and nobody wants that. And once that happens, the entire Trump agenda comes to a grinding halt. And right now, we're talking about, I mean, you look at executive orders, over 122 executive orders that still have to be codified by Congress. It's going to take time. And right now, there is not a sense of urgency. And that's all this was. My monologue last night on Newsmax was to light a fire underneath the Republicans. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Jerry, Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. My sincerest apologies to you personally and let the audience know. You are even more of an extraordinary gentleman, sir, than I already thought you were.
Well, thank you.
I love you just about as much as one heterosexual man can love another heterosexual man, Todd Starn.
I'm blushing, Jerry. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. Nothing wrong with a good man crush.
There you go. Now, I don't know, and I hope so. I'm sure somebody from the administration is probably listening. Whoever is making these Surgeon General picks and recommending these people to DJT, Mr. Trump, they are not your friend. The last woman, the one who was not straight about where she went to school, she also, this was brought to my attention on a podcast from another excellent host earlier this week, all through COVID, social media flooded it with, oh, the vaccine is safe and effective. If you take the vaccine, you won't do this, you won't do that. Masks have saved tens of thousands of lives, if not hundreds of thousands. She did that on social media all through the thing. And now we've got this new nominee who may be even worse, it sounds like, Todd. What's wrong with Ben Carson? That was an excellent idea, sir.
I don't know if Ben Carson would have accepted it, but again, there are plenty of other rock solid conservatives out there, Jerry, who would make fine U.S. attorney, or rather surgeon generals. So I'm with you. I'm very curious who's calling the shots here. It sounds like RFK Jr. is picking a lot of these people. It just, and again, there is a family member has very close ties to RFK Jr. And with this Casey Means, the latest nominee. And it's just going to look ugly, though. If President Trump has to pull this nomination, it just makes President Trump look bad, and he's got nothing to do with this.
Yeah, well, I hope RFK is not the one behind these suggestions, because I like RFK. I think he's on our side, but something is just wrong with these recommendations.
Yeah, it's weird.
At all.
All right, Jerry, thank you for the call and the kind words, and we appreciate you listening to the program. By the way, Turning Point USA, and I'm just sharing this information, Charlie Kirk says that the new Pope is actually a registered Republican, but clearly on the issues like climate and immigration, he would consider himself to be more aligned with the left. But Turning Point USA now is saying they've got evidence that the new Pope is in fact a Republican. Oh, well, that's okay. We'll see how it plays out. Certainly he's pro-life. That's a good sign. And it certainly appears that he is standing on the right side of the gender issue. So we'll take that. And that may be all you need for a win. Hey, folks, some exciting news. If you've been following the developments in the stock market, it's a little crazy right now, which is a good reminder of why you need to diversify your savings and your retirement accounts. You got to play it smart. That's really what it's all about. And I'm talking about making sure that you secure your hard-earned savings and retirement with gold. That's right, precious metals. Check out our good friends at Vault US Gold. They've got an IRS-approved gold IRA, and they let you roll over your IRA or 401k with a no-commission pro. That's right, safe, simple, tax-smart, protecting your future. By the way, if you actually want the physical gold in your house, well, they can do that too. Direct delivery program ships insured gold and silver directly to your front door. You get privacy. It's yours to store securely. Real assets that you can hold in touch for the tough times. So here's what I want you to do. Give them a call right now, 833-511-GOLD. That's 833-511-GOLD. Or you can also visit vaultusgold.com/Todd Starnes for a free investor kit. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Starnes for your free investor kit. And tell them Todd Starnes sent you. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Gary in Florida, WOCA, our terrific affiliate out there. Hi, Gary. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. Traveling, so I didn't catch all your show today, but when I called in, I like Brett Baer a lot, but I think he only got a B-plus out of the interview with Bernie Sanders because I was waiting for him when Sanders started talking about the amount of billionaires that Trump knows or hangs out with. and on how he wants to rule the country, and you know, the world, like that, and the monarchy and the oligarchy. I was waiting for Brett to talk, and how the money gets thrown around to different venues from these people. I mean, George Soros, first of all, Bernie hangs out. He knows a lot of billionaires also. And a lot of the people, Soros is famous, I know, here in Florida, for you'll take a district attorney's race out of Orlando, and he'll put $1 million in it to get the right, to place the right district attorney. And I just wish Brett would have pushed him more. I know he wasn't going to push him on the Biden's mental status. Brett wasn't going to do that, but I wish he'd have pushed him more on the fact that Bernie still acts like he's poor and he knows nobody that's rich.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I look, Brett got some good points in there, and I appreciate him doing that and calling him out on that. But I think you're absolutely right, Gary. And again, just the sheer hypocrisy of these Democrats. You know, they live their lives one way, and they expect us to live, you know, in a completely other way. So it's rules for thee, not for me.
You bet.
Yeah.
Great show. Thank you.
All right, Gary. Hey, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening today. By the way, tomorrow, for all of our listeners in northern Mississippi, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be doing broadcasting an early morning show. I've been pulling double duty, and we would love to see all of our friends in Hernando, Mississippi. We're going to be doing the entire KWAM morning show from a place called Junior's Eaton House. And that's E-A-T-I-N. There's no G. It's good old Southern food. And from 7 to 9, we're going to be out there, and would love for you to drop by and say hello. We have so many wonderful listeners and friends in northern Mississippi. And I remember years ago when Ben Dieter first came to Memphis, he was unfamiliar with a meet and three. He didn't know what a meet and three was. So we had to educate him on the ways of the South. A meet and three is a diner, what we call it's a diner here in the South, where you get your choice of meat, which is either fried chicken or catfish or meatloaf or country fried steak, and then you get three vegetables. So that is what we call a good old-fashioned meet and three. Anyway, we're going to be out at Junior's Eaton House, great, great establishment in Hernando, Mississippi, right there off the square, and we would love to see you out there joining us tomorrow. By the way, I did mention to you that on June 17th, we will be launching the big Todd Stearns book tour, and we are planning to visit a good many cities over the summer, and we would love to visit you in your town, your city. We're going to be posting those, our route and our map coming up very soon. But we're going to be out there doing a big book signing. We're going to be launching it in Germantown, Tennessee on June the 12th. And then we hit the road on the 17th. That's when the book will officially be in bookstores. And I want to encourage you to get a pre-ordered copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And you're going to love this book, folks. It is so much fun. My good friend Michelle Cox, we write the devotion books together, and we put together a fun little book for your entire family talking about how God has blessed America. And by the way, this is not a partisan book. This is a nonpartisan book. And I think that's one of the reasons I really love it, because when you look back at American history, God truly has blessed us, and he's done some pretty remarkable things in this country through great American patriots. And we write about some of those patriots in the book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. So by the way, you can get the book. We have an audio book, also a hardcover book, and you're going to want to get the hardcover book. It's so beautifully well done. And also on Kindle, and you can get it at your favorite bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. You can get it at Christian bookstores. You can also order a copy on Amazon. So right now for the pre-orders, you're going to have to go, and you got to do that online. So just head over, crack open the laptop and check out Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and you'll be able to get yourself a copy of the book there. Folks, it's been a great day. Of course, the breaking news, we're going to be covering that tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show. We will have live reporting coming directly out of Vatican City. Also, live analysis as well as people try to figure out what kind of a pope just got elected. Is he a conservative? Is he a liberal? Is he a moderate? Well, we're going to talk about it tonight on Newsmax. All right, folks, been a lot of fun today. Thank you again. ToddStearns.com. Bookmark the website. Also, get yourself a signed copy again of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, and you can do that at your favorite bookstore. Get out there and be good, America.